This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host today, Brian Walker. I've got two of my favorite people with me today, and I'm going to come back and introduce them in a second. The topic that we are going to be talking about is the roller coaster that is Google Ads. Before we get into that, I want to thank our sponsors. RepairPal will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com, the largest site for auto repair. Learn more at RepairPal.com/shops. And thanks to our friends at AppFueled, declined repairs don't have to be lost revenue. AppFueled's call center schedules follow-up calls and equips your team with everything they need to close the deal. Get started now at AppFueled.com. As I said, I've got two of my favorite people in the world today, and these are our Chief Operating Officer at Shop Marketing Pros, Haley Wassinger, and our lead CSM, Danny Marks. Many of you, you know, especially if you work with us, you know these ladies, and they are awesome, and I'm so glad to have y'all with me today to talk about this. So, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks.
Glad to be here.
You mentioned the roller coaster that is Google Ads, and I feel like I just need to preface it by saying, like, it's not the fun roller coaster always that you find at the theme park. It's more the roller coaster that you're scared of.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And, you know, Haley comes to this from the standpoint of having been our Google, or not just Google, but our ads team leader. And Danny was as well. I'm totally flaking out on that, not even thinking about it until right now that you were. But Danny, you know, gets to talk with many of our clients every month and go over the reports with them and everything. There's this idea that I think a lot of people have when they don't really understand Google Ads, and that's just that on or off, or they're working or they're not. And I'll let y'all talk a little bit about that, being that you have that firsthand experience of what really happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'll let Danny talk from a customer standpoint, but I know previously we talked and did podcasts and blogs on specifically new Google Ads and how they take time to learn and optimize when you first turn them on. I feel like this is kind of a follow-up to that, because that doesn't just apply to new Google Ads and anytime you're making big changes and send them back to a learning phase, but it's really riding the roller coaster or the waves of not only the changes that you make, but the changes Google makes on their end. So it isn't just a set it and forget it thing. It's a research and constantly tweak and optimize thing to like roll with those punches from Google as well. And then I know from Danny's standpoint, the customers definitely feel that too.
Yeah, I'm so lucky to be able to meet with clients because we get the constant feedback of what they're feeling. We also know what we see on reports, which is a very strong indicator on what we think shops are feeling. But the actual feedback from the shop owner is invaluable. And, you know, sometimes whenever it feels like Google Ads are off, there's this reactive knee jerk that you want to say, oh my gosh, this is not working. We have to do something now. But it's so important to know that you have to trust the process, especially if you have a team of experts your side who are educated in knowing what these evolutions of Google Ads are. So that goes to Haley's point of rolling with the punches and knowing when to stick with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to make sure that they, you know, like, this is for the listeners. I want you to understand that this episode is not us coming on here and making excuses. It actually is in response to something that I saw in the Auto Shop Owners Hangout, where some people were asking about another agency, and this other agency was having, like, a lot of their Google Ads performance had just fallen off. And that agency was saying that there was a bug with Google. And this is kind of in response to that. I don't feel like we have had a lot of clients that have been screaming about the performance of their Google Ads, but, you know, we did see a drop in performance in the beginning of this year. And I'm going to let Danny talk about that in a minute. But this is more of just, it's coming at it from an educational standpoint. Like, I want you to understand some of the inner workings of Google Ads. And that's why we're doing that, why we're recording this today. So Haley, you talked about the things that can happen when we make changes in Google Ads and when Google makes changes. Let's start by talking about some of the things that can happen when we make changes and how that can impact the performance of the ads.
Yeah, so we typically call them large scale changes, but that's really going to be any significant changes that you make to your campaign, significantly increasing or decreasing the budget, major targeting changes, changes to your bid strategy, launching new campaigns, stopping new campaigns, anything, like I said, that like is a major shift or change in your campaign or ad groups, that will send your ads back into what's called the learning phase. And basically, it's Google learning your changes, re-optimizing for those changes, and finding kind of like that perfect balance of ad serving again. So we definitely work to notate any time we make those major changes. And the customer success managers like Danny are very well educated on how to navigate those conversations to let clients know what changes we made and what to expect to see from them. But it is definitely normal that when we do make those kinds of changes, we see a dip in performance before it comes back up.
So one of the biggest things that I see, you know, our ads team get frustrated about is sometimes we'll have a client that wants to be a little too involved in the strategy of their ads, and they're sending emails all the time saying, hey, change this, do that. And tell us, you know, kind of what happens when they do that.
Yeah, I actually think Danny is the perfect person to answer this question because she's the one that's getting those emails typically, right? And she relays them to the team, but it's really a collaboration between the ads team and Danny to educate our clients on, you know, these are the changes that we're made and we're not touching them again. And there are definitely times when we tell clients, no, we're not touching your ads anymore for X amount of period. Aside from the normal maintenance, I'm talking, we're not making any more significant changes. So I'll let Danny speak to how she navigates that conversation with clients.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, it's really about being informed by an awesome team on the back end. There's so much work that happens in our operations teams that doesn't show on a report. So it's up to us as CSMs to transfer that information over to our clients. And then it's really an education and coaching process. And we're so lucky to have so many great clients who are open to hearing the why. I feel like as long as we're providing this is what's happening and this is why it's happening, I think many of our clients are very open to hearing that and then trusting us from there.
I can think of one instance in particular where the major changes, because we'll still listen to clients when they want to make changes regarding their budget, right? Because it's their money at the end of the day. And we always advise them what the implications or the consequences of those changes, especially to budget, may be. But one instance comes to mind of where we were really troubleshooting this one ad account that wasn't performing up to the standards that we wanted or expected. And so we were making those significant changes. But while we were making changes to things like keyword, landing page copy, targeting, things like that, the client was also decreasing the budget over and over. And then they would come back to our customer success managers and say, well, you're making all these changes, but my results are still declining, or I'm still not getting good results. And that's a hard conversation for the customer success managers to have to go back and say, we're doing everything that we know and we possibly can, and we're not happy with the results either, but you're also decreasing your budget. So it's definitely a balance of our changes and fielding those requests from the clients for sure.
Yeah, indeed. We're almost like doctors who have to diagnose and pay attention to the changes that are happening so that we're able to relay that over to the client to let y'all know what's going on.
Yeah. So, all right, that's when we make changes. Now, let's talk about when Google starts making changes on their end. And the three of us might have a little PTSD when we start talking about this, but let's talk about what we just refer to as March 2024. Like if we say March 2024 in our agency, everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. And we say March because March is when it all came to a head, but it really started around November of 2023. Let's talk about that some.
Yeah, hold on, let me get my seatbelt so I can buckle in.
Truly, like Brian said, anytime we talk about March 2024, I just call it like the great ads exodus of 2024. It was rough. I was the ads director at that time, and it definitely was a roller coaster that you had to buckle in for. But like Brian said, it started in late 2023, and we just saw this crazy dip in ads across the board. It wasn't just one client here or there or a few clients. It was across the board. And we heard it from other marketing companies in our industry, but you know, Brian, in your peer group as well, we heard it from other marketing companies that have nothing to do with the auto industry. And it was, you know, based on our research and just following the trends and keeping up with them, it was what we think was based in like legislation updates and more like oversight on advertising and the use of AI. It was rising costs. The cost of ads significantly increased like mid to late 2023. And our clients definitely felt that. I know Danny got more than a couple emails saying, you know, my budget has always been X amount and I'm not getting the same return on it. A lot of it was rising cost per clicks and more competition just in the space, but also oversight too, for sure.
Like we see this stuff when it's happening. And Danny's going to talk about how she just dug into some numbers recently. And, you know, where we've seen a bit of a dip, certainly no March 2024, but we've, you know, we've seen a bit of a dip in the beginning of 2025. We see these things and we know that something is happening, but Google, they're not transparent about this stuff. You know, they make these algorithm updates, and on the SEO side, I think they talk about it a lot more than they do on the paid search side. There's absolutely an algorithm there. And, you know, they have to make it work a certain way. And, you know, AI has been part of, honestly, don't even know how long it's been part of Google's search and paid search platform. But, you know, we understand that that was a time when a lot of that was being put into place. We were also, you know, seeing a shift to like PMax campaigns. And correct me if I'm, you know, wrong about any of that kind of stuff. But like there was so much that was going on, and we started seeing it around November, and we're like doing everything that we can to get these things to perform, and they wouldn't, yet we would have these outliers, and especially our clients who had been with us for a long time, like they had really old established ad accounts, they just kept on going. And then we would have this random one or two clients that were brand new ad accounts that would kill it, while other ones were doing everything that we can to get them to work, and it's just not working. And we hired an outside consultant, you know, who was, you know, like a top 1% Google Ads person, you know, to come in and look at our setups and everything, and couldn't find anything wrong with any of it. So we're doing everything we can to make sure this isn't something that's particular to us. Talking to people, you know, in my peer group, like Haley mentioned, you know, one of those people in that group, they own a company where they literally, like, they just did the ads for this presidential campaign and some Senate campaigns and stuff like that. And I'm talking to the owner of that, and she's like, it is nuts what's going on right now. And we can't explain it. And between November 2023 and March 2024, with the majority of it happening in March 2024, we lost just over 20 ads clients because they're like, this isn't working. I couldn't blame them. I could not blame them for leaving because they were not getting a return.
I mean, there were even ads clients that we told, like, we recommend stopping your ads. It truly, and you know, we talked about the consultant that we hired. It was funny because I remember sitting on a meeting with you, Brian, and we literally said, you know, we're hiring this outside consultant, all ego, all things we know out the window. Like when he comes in and he assesses these accounts, whatever he finds, we're just going to take it and we're going to take it in and we're going to run with it. And he was great. And he did give us some really great suggestions. But at the core of his assessments, there was nothing major that like we were doing wrong or could do better. And he was finding it in his own business too. He was, you know, running into the same problems, but it wasn't like this big aha moment that we found one thing or two things that was going to turn everything around. Honestly, we were at the point we were kind of probably hoping that he would find some major things, turn it around, but we didn't.
But then April came and everything kind of normalized. And it wasn't that, you know, we as marketers just woke up one day back in November and forgot how to run ads and then remembered how to do it in April. This was a Google thing that I believe, you know, and I don't know, I'm not on the inside of this other agency, but that, you know, I believe that that's probably what's happening in the other agency. Because Danny, I want you to talk, you know, about like, what are we seeing right now here in early 2025?
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. And first, I want to reference back to something that Haley said at the beginning. This is important for our listeners to hear, is the amount of level that we pay attention, the amount of level that our team is paying attention, that we're looking at reports and how we're listening to what our clients and peer groups are saying. It's not a set it and forget it. Unfortunately, in the marketing industry, sometimes that happens in some operations, but not here. We pay attention and we report. So that definitely did trigger me to go in and open up multiple reports based on feedback that I was hearing from the other CSMs and the clients that they're assigned to, and then some of the trends that I was seeing in my own report meetings. So just the other week, I went and I opened up about 20 reports at random to see if there was a trend there, because we're hearing it, and it's different to see it and be like, okay, there's a visual there of what's happening, the trend across the board. Right around March, it was there. Of course, we have some outliers, but at least we can identify this is not one individual client this is happening to. It's happening across the board.
I want to thank our friends at RepairPal for making this episode possible. They're on a mission to put trust back in auto repair. You're an honest shop that delivers high quality work and great service, right? Well, millions of consumers looking for mid to major mechanical repair look for shops like yours in the RepairPal Trusted Network. Contact them to get certified today and receive 1 month free service at RepairPal.com/shops. Being in the RepairPal Certified Network helped us grow our shop's business, and it can help yours too with new customers and a higher ARO. Plus, you don't have to worry anymore about arguing with customers over price, because shops in the RepairPal Certified Network are trusted by consumers for being fair priced. Not low priced, fair priced. You have to be in it to win it. So head over to RepairPal.com/shops to learn more and set up a call. When you sign up, you'll get 1 month of service free and save $150 off certification. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to AppFueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at AppFueled.com/Jeremy. That's AppFueled.com/Jeremy. So a lot of just dip in the number of phone calls. Listeners, pay attention to that phone calls, because we're going to come back a little bit later and show you where some people were actually excelling in another area besides phone calls. So, you know, but a dip in phone calls kind of across the board. But, you know, all right, we're going to talk about this. Let's talk about this. They're still spending their budgets.
Yeah, they are. And you know what I think is interesting, too, is like we're talking about March 2025. So just a few months ago. And we saw, and we're not just talking like little dips. We're talking like major dips in phone calls. And they've since started to come back up, but not at the level they were prior to March. And what I thought was interesting when I was researching, you know, what have caused such major dips in March, it literally starts in like summer and fall of 2024. So the same thing we were seeing the previous year, you know, we started to see it in summer and fall of 2023, and then it all came to a head in March 2024. And there were some core algorithm updates as far as like search goes, but also ad rank goes. There were algorithm updates happening in fall of 2024. And then there were updates in summer of 2024 regarding the Google's AI interview overviews and how that's impacting, you know, ads as well. So those updates come out, whether it's updates to the ad rank algorithm, whether it's core algorithm updates that primarily impact search, that still has an effect on ads, and then changes, again, that Google is just making and diving deeper into their AI. Those changes happen every few months, or sometimes they can happen back to back to back. And we really don't see the effects of those changes until 1 month where everything just drops.
And some of the things that y'all have shared with me, they're making some really big updates right now, especially in the way that bidding happens.
Yeah. So the major ones I want to touch on, one happened in October 2024. So we know the rise of Performance Max or PMax campaigns were super big in like late 2023 and 2024, but they changed their algorithm for how they rank PMax campaigns in October. And that algorithm update no longer gives PMax campaigns priority.
Let's stop there for just a second, because a lot of people who are listening probably don't have a clue what we're talking about with PMax. So let's specify, we have just regular search ads, which that is where we can go in and sort of say, you know, here's the copy. You know, we give it a whole bunch of different copy. And, you know, here's the keywords that we want these ads to trigger for. But then we have PMax, where PMax, we load in copy, images, video, like all these different kinds of assets. And then Google uses their AI to test all of these different amalgamations of these things. They'll put different photos with different copy and videos where video can be played and all of this stuff so that they can sort of find the one that they think works the best. Is that right?
Yeah. And then I also think the biggest differentiator to point out is when we're running search ads, we can research and pick and input the keywords that we want to target with our search ads. Performance Max works off of search themes or categories, and those are based on the landing pages that you're sending the ads to. It kind of uses, you know, like you said, AI to crawl your landing pages and match those search themes or search queries that people are searching for to your ads and your copy, and it puts together the copy with the images. But also one of the major differences too is that Performance Max opens your ads up to showing across all of Google's platforms. So that includes Google Maps, YouTube, Gmail, Display, Search. Whereas for our search ads, we show those solely on the search network.
So you're telling me that having high quality content on your website, like high quality, unique content that really describes what you do, is going to impact the performance of your ads?
Wow, who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Well, you know, it didn't always work that way. You know, especially because we run into the shop owners sometimes. It's like when the person brings their car into the shop and they're like, I used to be a mechanic. We do run into the shop owners sometimes that used to run their Google ads. They used to run their own Google ads, and they remember the days of nickel clicks and 25-cent clicks and stuff like that, which is a very bygone era. back then, you basically put some words in and you say, when somebody searches for this, I want my ad to show up. And when somebody searched for that, your ad showed up with the words that you typed in, and somebody would click and it would take them wherever you decided that you wanted them to go. And it just doesn't work that way anymore. Like, it's so complex to how it used to be. And on most hands, I would say it's better than it used to be, especially, and it has to be because of all of the competition that's out there that used to not be out there. But I just wanted to hone in on that for a second for people to understand just how important your website is when it comes to the performance of your Google Ads. I'm not talking about just a good looking website. I'm talking about a website that actually it really doesn't need to be good looking. Like, that's the least of Google's concerns. It needs to be something that is an actual helpful resource in allowing the search engines, or better yet, the reader, to understand who you are, what you do, what makes you different, and, you know, how you're not just every other auto repair shop out there. So, off my soapbox.
Because of what you're saying, you know, there were core algorithm updates in late 2024, but also in March of 2025, that really prioritized high quality content, specifically not AI generated content that had no human element to it. But what's interesting, and what we started doing, particularly for these accounts that have been running with us forever, that we have so much data on, is we started going through our accounts and picking the highest performing keywords and re-implementing those keywords into our copy. So on landing pages and websites. So of course, when we build a website or even a landing page, our content team writes all of that copy, and they write it with search in mind. So it is already very keyword heavy, but when we are kind of overhauling or troubleshooting these accounts that we're not seeing great results with, one of the first things we do is we go pull all of their high performing keywords from their Google Ads account, we give it to our content team, and we say, can you rewrite this copy to incorporate these specific keywords? Because that's what Google Ads is looking for when it's crawling your landing pages.
And I was just having a similar conversation with a client just yesterday, where I was teaching them, you have the ad, but the ad has to go somewhere. It's just like SEO. But we'll focus on ads here. Like, the ad can't exist on its own. It needs the place it's going to. And the better the content on that, then the more you get rewarded in the ad bidding structure. I would like to point out, like, there's so many technical terms that we're throwing around here for Google Ads. But a really big thing to realize is we're talking about how Google Ads were even back many moons ago, whenever I was the digital ad manager, and then Haley took that torch and brought our ad department to a whole other level that it is today, there has already been massive changes, and we always get through them. Yes, Google Ads are going through massive changes. They did last year. They're different now than whenever I was the digital ad manager. In 2 years, it's going to change again. So, you know, Google Ads will keep evolving, and you just have to keep up with it.
And as it evolves, there will be highs and lows. There's just no doubt about that. And, you know, so that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask, because, you know, I've had people ask me this question, is that, well, when Google is doing stuff like this, should I just turn off my ads and, you know, wait it out and then turn it back on when it gets good again? What are your thoughts on that?
Negative.
I was going to say, go ahead, Danny. You have this conversation all the time.
Yeah, especially whenever you have a team behind the scenes who are getting ahead of the conversation and the trends. You have to trust the process, because if you just turn off that Google ad in these times, then you're kind of cutting your nose off from your face. They're still providing some value, maybe even more than you're able to track. The value is still there. Was it as much as it was before? Maybe not, but it's going to get back to that level again, because you have to stay up with the trend. It is also in Google's best interest to make their product work well for people to see value from it. there's also new solutions that are happening. And I don't know if y'all want to go into LSA ads yet, but that's one of the new solutions that we found to be helping with what we're seeing from Google Ads right now.
So yeah, let's talk about LSA in just a second, because I think that's a very important topic to cover right here. But if we go back to what Haley was saying about making major changes to an account, one of the most negatively impacting things that we see happen to an account is when our clients' credit cards that they have on file with Google are declining, because every time that that card declines, Google automatically just shuts that account off. And when your account gets turned on and off, that is like, it's just detrimental to the account. You want your account to be running, you know, basically all the time. Like if you're that person, we won't even work with clients who want to do this. But, you know, I've heard of those people who, when they're busy, they will turn their ad account off. When they're slow, they turn it back on, and they're not going to see good results doing that. But when you're in a situation like this, you definitely do not want to just shut your ads off. When I think about, as you call it, Haley, the ads exodus, you know, of March 2024, a lot of those people who left, and like I say, I do not blame them, okay? At that time, we didn't see the end. Like, we did not know when things were going to change. But the majority of people left in March. I think that there was a total of about 22 clients that left between November and March. Yes, and 15 of those happened in March. And in April, it all started coming back. But they switched to a different agency who's going to be running in a different ad account and basically started from zero. So their ads probably didn't start performing again until August. You know, whereas the ones who just stuck it out in April, it started coming back. By May, we were rocking and rolling again. You have to stay the course. You don't have to do anything, but you really should stay the course if you want to be able to depend on Google Ads to be a viable way to promote your business. But let's talk about LSA. And if you don't understand what LSA is, we have an episode where we talked about LSA. LSA stands for local service ads, and we're not going to turn this into a class on LSA, but you can go listen to our course on local service ads, and we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes on this one. The clients who are doing LSA, how have the impacts been for them of this?
We are seeing really good impacts. So it's once again, yet a different kind of Google ad. The main reason that we really love them for clients is because it stretches their budgets much farther, because we essentially have some gatekeeping in place that our team is able to do for the clients, which is watching and scoring the call leads. So LSA ads are cost per lead. And overall, I'll tell you the consensus is the clients who have been running them for, you know, up to 6 months now, their calls are really cooking and they are finding good value in that new kind of Google ad.
Yeah. And what I think is important to mention about LSA and what's come up in conversations between us and with clients recently is that just like normal Google or traditional Google search ads, LSA is also not just a set it and forget it or a set it and all of a sudden all of these best quality leads come in. It still takes optimization and learning, just like traditional Google ads. So, you know, we've heard from clients who have been in the first or second month of their local services ads. They're like, I am getting all these calls, but they're, yeah, like not the best quality. And really around that month three of listening and rating the calls, like Danny said, is when they really get honed in. So also LSA is like the new shiny thing from Google, I feel, for, you know, service-based businesses, but don't be fooled that it's, you know, unlike traditional search ads that you just turn it on and it works.
Yeah. And one thing, you know, like I said, I don't want it to be a class on LSA, but one thing that I do want to specify if you're listening, LSA is still not great for specialty shops. So if you're a Euro shop or diesel shop, a performance shop, LSA is probably not for you. I am hopeful that changes in time. You cannot tell me that Google's AI is not smart enough to understand what a Euro shop or a diesel shop is and the type of clients that they're looking for. But as of right now, because it's category based and not keyword based, if you could be a diesel shop and if you're running LSA, anyone who's searching for basically anything auto repair related, where their intent is to get a car fixed, that could make your phone ring. So it can lead to a lot of irrelevant calls for you. That being said, we have a handful of specialty shops that will work on other stuff. And they're like, hey, you know, our techs can work on those other cars. We could use the work right now. Let's turn them on. And they're seeing great results from them. They have to understand, though, and the ones who we're doing this for very much understand that LSA is going to send them a lot of people outside of their specialty, and they're perfectly happy with that. So just something to keep in mind.
I was going to say, I feel like I have a good transition here to something that's really important to know about LSA. When we're talking about LSA, we're talking like LSA is meant to drive phone calls. You know, with traditional Google ads, we always include the call asset, which is meant to drive phone calls directly from the Google ad. But people also have the option to click a site link asset or click to your website and book online from there. So we have a shop that is running both LSA and Google ads, and he completely switched his, or he asked us, we collaborated on it, we switched it for him. But when he launched LSA, he was being so inundated with phone calls at that point that we completely changed his call to action in his traditional Google ads to book online because he has an online scheduler. And I feel like that is a good segue to another trend we're seeing.
Danny, you're the one who found this trend when you were digging into these numbers. So why don't you tell us what you found?
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite things to point out in reports right now is that the data is showing there's a shift in behavior that people are moving to booking online. This becomes apparent in reports where you see the call volumes perhaps dipping a bit, but then you see the online appointment conversions just ticking, ticking, ticking up. You have to pay attention to that. One thing that's been an interesting conversation with clients is I think so many shop owners are conditioned to hearing the phone ring. I'm not hearing the phone ring, or I am hearing the phone ring. Well, your online appointment scheduler is what I'm calling a silent conversion. You don't hear it, but it's just as important as a phone call, if not more important. Because if people take the time to fill out those forms, they're very high converting to show up for their appointment.
Well, and, you know, shop owners should love this. You know, you think about the service advisor role, okay, that I have heard for years, and honestly, I have no idea where the statistic comes from. I don't know if it's even true, okay, but I'm going to repeat it with that disclaimer that I don't know that this is true, but I've always heard that the service advisor job is the number two most stressful job in the world right after air traffic controller. You know, I filled that role before in my own shop. I can say that even if it's not true, it sure feels like it. If you can take some of those phone calls off of your service advisor, you know, who's over here trying to build estimates, you know, because you're a 300% shop. So you're inspecting 100% of the cars, you're writing up 100% of what you find, and you're presenting 100% of that to the client. That service advisor is busy. And every time that they get interrupted by a phone call and you say, oh, well, a phone call is not an interruption. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. You know, you don't want to look at a phone call as an interruption. That's an opportunity, but it's still, let's be real, it's an interruption. And when you can get people to start using that online scheduler, then it's making your service advisor's job easier. So in theory, your close rate can go up, your ARO can go up. The face-to-face time that your service advisor, you know, is having with the client when they actually come into the shop is now getting better because they're not having to field as many phone calls. And Danny talks about this behavioral shift, and it just makes sense because, I mean, people are used to using apps and, you know, online stuff for everything now, and they're not used to their auto repair shop having that. So if you're educating your clients when they come into the shop that you have this now, You know, if you're educating them when you send out emails or when you're doing your social media that, hey, you can book online, you just made it easier for them to do it. And I hear the shop owners and I understand where you're coming from. And I'm going to tell you that you're wrong, but I understand where you're coming from. The shop owners that are saying, well, we can't rely on a system like that to properly book a client in because that system doesn't understand what needs to be done and how long it's going to take and how big of a time slot it needs to be and all of that. In theory, you're right, but in practice, you're wrong because some of the best shop owners I know are using this incredibly successfully every day and they're still getting the work done and they're not having any emergencies because the scheduler screwed up. So you're wrong. Embrace online scheduling.
Yeah, especially these third-party schedulers that are so customizable to your shop now. And what I think is important about even a third-party scheduler like AutoOps or Seer or Shop Genie or whatever it is you use over just a simple form, you're still taking that face-to-face time away, that call time away from your service advisor. So with like a simple request an appointment form, your service advisor still has to call back, confirm the appointment, get any additional information. That third-party scheduler, everything is built into there. And again, it's completely customizable to your shop. But also what I think is so great about that third-party scheduler is, and again, I say it all the time, we talk about it on the podcast, we talk about it in our classes, but I cannot tell you how many phone calls I listen to where the service advisor fumbles a perfectly good lead from ads. With a third-party scheduler, it's a confirmed booking that goes on your schedule. You don't have to rely on your service advisor to, you know, possibly fumble the phone call. It's confirmed on your schedule by the client themselves. So it just goes to, you know, the power of those schedulers like Danny is seeing. And also our new digital ads team lead was doing research and she found a report from CallRail, which is the tracking number system that we use at Shop Marketing Pros. And almost 50% of people now, which this is so believable, I can't believe it's not higher, but almost 50% of people prefer not to call a business unless they absolutely have to. They want to book online. They do not want to be on the phone because they have busy lives too.
Yeah, those are such good points. And just to like add on to that, I call them native contact me forms on your website. Those can still work okay, but not every scheduler is created equal. And especially whenever you have these smart schedulers, like the third-party schedulers that Haley mentioned, they're such a beautiful user experience. It's so easy for your customer to fill them out and it integrates with your shop software. I mean, whenever you have those things in place, it's going to end up being a good fit for leads. And it's marketing 101. The easier you make it for someone to convert to you, the more likely they are to convert.
Yeah. And when your service advisor is booking an appointment, most of them, we can tell you, I bet you it is over 99% of the service advisors do not have the customer record open while they're talking to the client and saying, hey, you had these declined repairs last time. Would you like for us to take care of that while it's in? But guess what is doing that? Your schedulers like AutoOps or, you know, I'm pretty sure Shop Genie does it. I'm guessing, you know, the new Kukui scheduler probably does that. Your service advisor isn't doing that. So to get into the online scheduling thing, there's no excuse not to. All right. So some key takeaways. If your Google ads, you know, like something like this happens, you know, something like what happened in late 2023, early 2024, or even, you know, if you are experiencing a downturn right now, you got to stay the course. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot if you don't. Be diversified in your marketing also. We talk about that a lot on here, despite the fact that we have a lot of clients that we work with who just do one thing. But being diversified in your marketing, not solely depending on something like Google Ads, but also, you know, depending on your SEO to perform, doing, you know, things like direct mail, you know, Facebook ads, programmatic, really having your CRM dialed in and knowing how to use that thing. because your CRM is an amazing tool for marketing your shop. Picking up the phone and calling people when it's slow, you know, calling people that have repairs that, you know, that are needed but were not performed and all of that. You have to be diversified, and all of that is marketing, and it can turn a slow shop into a busy shop, you know, so don't just depend on one thing. And then, you know, the last thing, you know, what we were just talking about, embrace online scheduling. If you don't, your competitors to do are going to overtake you. And I know some of the shop owners who are adamantly against this, and they will sit there and shake their head and be like, my clients will never, no, they're not going to leave me. They have that relationship with me. Assure you, they absolutely will if someone else makes it more convenient to do business with them. Haley and Danny, any last words?
Ride the roller coaster. That's it for me.
Yeah. Just avoid knee-jerk reactions. I know it's tempting to do, but it's better to look at the long-term assessment of what's happening, and you will see the recovery, especially if you have a great marketing team on your side.
And here's one that I know Danny is going to agree with. Talk to your CSM. And this is, if you're not watching this on video, Danny's making all kind of hand gestures to say yes. Talk to your CSM. But, you know, this is beyond just working with shop marketing pros. What a lot of y'all don't realize is I'm friends with most of the owners or, you know, the management at these other agencies. I honestly think that the automotive industry is really blessed to have some great marketers. I think we're the best, don't get me wrong, you know, but I'm friends with all of these others and we talk, and we know that y'all don't, you know, those of y'all who work with them don't talk to their CSMs half the time either. And that's not across the board. Okay. Not at all. What would you say is the percentage of your clients that speak to you on a regular basis? I'm sure it's fairly high.
It is. I just did this the other day in my reporting and it's 83%.
So the 17% that don't talk to you, are they missing out?
Absolutely. You know, we're here as a resource, so use your resources.
I was going to say they're missing out, but we're missing out too. You know, your CSM's there for us to know what's going on in your shop as well.
So definitely talk to your CSM. Well, look, I appreciate y'all being on with me today. I think that this was a really great episode where we dug into the inner workings and probably have explained some things that's going to be very eye-opening for some people. For those of you all who are listening, remember, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com. I'm glad that you listened in. Hope you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.